Thank you.
That was going to be our reader filling in for Pat this morning.
From the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. And they went to Capernaum, and immediately Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath to teach. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not one who was not sure what those scriptures meant, like the scribes and their teachers. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man who had an unclean spirit. And he cried out in a loud voice, the demon that is, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to torment us and destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Come out of him. Be silent." And the unclean spirit convulsed the man and came out of him with a loud shriek. And they were all amazed. And they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this, a new teaching? What authority he commands that even the unclean spirits obey him?" And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout Galilee and the surrounding regions. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my heart and the inspiration of our minds be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I believe it was on New Year's Eve this year that I heard a news report that amazed me. When the new year rolled in, with it came over 40,000 new laws throughout the various levels of government, local, state, and federal throughout this country. To me, that's just mind-boggling. When we ushered in 2018, among the new crazy regulations was one in Illinois that I chuckled with. If a divorcing couple owns a pet, their new state law treated pets like humans. So during divorce proceedings, a judge can now call for joint custody of Fido or pick one person who is to care for him. Throughout the world, citizens are governed by laws and regulations, and when these laws fail, they create other laws. And within these laws come very many other invert unwritten laws, laws that sometimes you can only find out what they are when you break them. But such unwritten laws sometimes are not there to help others. Often more than not, they are there to promote power for the individuals who wrote them. The Pharisees might have felt quite at home in trying to keep up with the changes of the 21st century rules and regulations, just as they did during the time of Jesus. You see, the Pharisees were a group of people who were very zealous Jewish leaders. They took their faith very, very seriously. The problem is that they believed that the way they would please God and make it to heaven was by meticulously following a long list of religious rules and regulations. They respectfully regarded God as one who made demands, and for them, the scripture of the Old Testament were a set of rules that they had to keep and followed right to the letter T at all cost. But this is specifically where there were major differences between them and Jesus. For Jesus, he knew and taught that God is not someone who made demands. Rather, he was primarily one who was gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The greatest cause of the Pharisees' antagonism towards Jesus, however, lay in his ignoring of their hundreds of elaborate but petty rules that they had devised for interpreting the law of God. Not only did they devise these rules, but they also elevated them to a level of scripture, so that to break one of these rules was to violate their law of God itself. But possibly another reason that the Pharisees despised Jesus was because of the authority of his teaching. Because as we know again and again in the course of Jesus' ministry, he was challenged by the Pharisees and the scribes as to why he felt he had the authority for what he said and did. You see, for Jesus' preaching, his teachings, his overall ministry, it was so convincing, so seemingly genuine, that the source of his power was almost a mystery to those who heard him. He taught such authority, but for those who heard him, it was a new authority. These people were hearing God's will in a way that they had never heard it before. You know, someone anonymous once said something very profound about Jesus, and this is the quote that I have. "I am far within the mark when I say that all armies that ever marched, all the navies that were ever built, and all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, all put together, have not affected the life of mankind on this earth as powerfully as that one solitary life." It's quite a profound quote. We can think of many dictators or prophets in the past who have created unimaginary powers, but this power was severely limited, mainly to only the countries that they had authority in. For Jesus, on the other hand, nothing can compare. His power endures from every nation on the earth, even within countries who openly oppose him, have little regard for his teaching, and persecute his followers. Fortunately for us, Jesus was against these self-promoting laws, laws that hindered God's grace, and Jesus did not care if he upset anyone or anything who came between him and God. In our reading from Mark today, we learned that Jesus' first disciples, Simon, Andrew, James and John, left their families and followed Jesus. And from there, the story unfolds from the village of Capernaum, where the five of them immediately went into the synagogue to pray. And as we know, even though Jesus was from Nazareth, a great deal of his ministry time was spent in Capernaum. This city was located on the northwest edge of the Sea of Galilee. It was a hub of trade and traffic. It was a perfect place for Jesus to teach, to heal, and to restore. But on this particular Sabbath day, the disciples actually saw firsthand the powerful, provocative influence that Jesus was going to have on earth, on each of them individually and collectively, and even more importantly, upon those who would soon meet him and whose lives he would touch in unparalleled ways. And on that Sabbath day, Mark tells us that the audience was amazed, not because there was an unclean or evil spirit present, but that Jesus used his words of authority to cast out that demon. And this becomes significant as we set the stage for future events, because the issue of authority was a problem for the scribes and for the Pharisees as they witnessed Jesus at work during the years of his ministry. This was an unheard type of teaching. Jesus was establishing himself as the authority over all of the rabbinical traditions. He was setting himself up not only more importantly than the teachers of that day, he was setting himself up more important than the teachers of history, even the prophets themselves. His teaching revealed that he was the ultimate authority in Scripture. So why do you think that Mark tells us about this particular event? For me, I think it is because he understands how we need to hear that there is someone greater than us who has the authority and power to help us. Jesus used his authority to serve, not to be served. And that is how he wants us to use whatever authority we might have, whether our authority is at home, at work, or within our church, wherever. He wants us to use it to help others and to not make ourselves the hero of the story. He had authority to teach whatever he wanted to teach. He had authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to forgive sins. He had so much authority, in fact, that he became quite a problem to the Jewish system, because you see that they believed that they had all the authority. They also had a very highly developed system of authority, one which Jesus ignored. He never asked for permission for anything. He didn't ask them to approve his doctrines. He didn't ask them to approve his healings. He didn't ask them to prove when he cast out demons. And he didn't ask for their advice on how to have eternal life. He ignored them. He did what he came to earth to do, under God's authority. And when, as you may recall, he went into the temple very early on in his ministry, he drove out all of them who sold and bought in the temple. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He didn't ask anybody's permission before doing this. He didn't check with the political or religious leaders asking, what are the rules for cleansing and cleaning up this temple? He didn't ask for permission for anybody except the Father. And because of that, you have to understand that he pitted himself up against the authority system that existed in a very dramatic way that ultimately led to his death. To the stuffed shirt political and religious leaders of his time, Jesus' behavior was totally unacceptable. You see, rabbinical teachings had no inherent authority. The rabbis quoted the rabbis who quoted the rabbis who quoted other rabbis, and that's the only authority that they ever had. And you had to be ordained in this function to be accepted as a rabbi. Jesus was his own authority because all authority had been given to him by God, and he never had authorization from men to do anything. Up until then, the teachers of the synagogue had taken the word of God, such as remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, and they expanded that into a large number of mandates, teachings, and traditions that worked out more for them. Requirements such as work on the Sabbath and other many issues became so strictly defined that before long, people were weighed down with these rules, and nobody was actually capable of keeping them. Then along came Jesus, and he reminded them that the first and most important commandment is to love the Lord our God, and the people's eyes were opened. Throughout his travel, Jesus consistently pointed back to the Word of God to teach the Word of God. He made the connections, he drew the lines, he dug deeper and showed the people riches that they had not known were there. And underlying all of this were his messages of sin and repentance, faith and salvation, love and forgiveness, mercy and hope. And what happened? The people were astonished and they followed him. We see why people were astonished, for he's taught as the one who had authority and not as the scribes, as Kevin read in our scripture lesson from Mark earlier. The people were astonished because Jesus was raised as a carpenter's son. He was not educated. He didn't have any of the sophisticated knowledge that the priests and Pharisees claimed to have in the temples. So when Jesus rose up and started teaching on deep spiritual concepts and issues, they were blown away because of the eloquent and well-spoken and informed he was with all of the issues. Jesus was teaching in a way that not only put forth ethical teaching, but also taught in ways that people were willing to follow, willing to believe in, and willing to trust. Fast forward 2,000 years, and it's critical that we continue to understand and accept the authority of Jesus. As the church and individual believers, we are inheritors of Christ's authority. Yes, even Presbyterians in this modern culture are people who are called to teach, to preach, and to love as we have with the power to influence people for Christ. An important reminder in this discussion is to remember that the purpose of that authority, we have authority that is not for our own gain. We aren't called to use the power of God in our lives for our own needs and wants. We are empowered by the Spirit to do the work that God is calling us to do. Culturally, we are suspect of all authority. This isn't something new. I believe that such skepticism in the heart of our Reformed Presbyterian tradition, see, where they saw the abuse of authority, and the Reformers stood up and they called for those in power to change the systems that abused authority. We've also seen plenty of this in the contemporary example of the misuse of authority. Let's face it, the church throughout the world has not lived up to its purpose and has often used its authority in ways that have caused damage. Sadly, I have even seen this in leadership issues in other churches. But do the failures of the past mean that we should stop trying? This attitude is exactly what we see in our society today. But this is not the example that we receive from God. God shows us that it is important to continue to put a claim on truth and goodness. Throughout the scriptures, we see God call leader after leader, and more often they do not end up in some form of error. Nonetheless, God continues to call and to send, and we are those who have been called and sent into the world today. We have received this power when the Holy Spirit came upon us at baptism, and now God expects us to be his witnesses, to proclaim the kingdom of God, to demonstrate its miracles, its signs, its wonders. Not doing so causes our churches to see declining membership and our society continuing to crumble. We are now joint heirs with Jesus. He shares our inheritance, and we share in his authority. We share in his power and his glory, and we share in his infinite blessings. Jesus presented his message so clearly that those who heard it were amazed. He needs us to do what we are asked to do and continue to spread that good news. It's us, the body of Christ, who are empowered by him to tell the world who Jesus is, the way, the truth, and the life. We are continued to be called to be his ambassadors by telling people that God no longer holds them tight with their sins, because Jesus became our sacrifice so that we may have the righteousness of God. Therefore, let us plead for God's Holy Spirit to show us what Jesus' authority truly means and how it can impact our lives and the lives of others. May the authority of Jesus rule supreme in our hearts and lives, and may these treasures that he has be placed upon our disposal for us to help others around us. Alleluia. Amen.